Let me ask you a question. How many of you are going to make New Year's resolutions? You can admit to it. There's some hands going up around here. Got some resolutions in mind. Maybe you didn't even think about it yet. You got to, you know, plan it later on tonight. I haven't really thought about too much this year. In the past, I've made some resolutions, but for the most part, there are going to be many resolutions made today and tonight, whether it's for health or personal goals or career plans. Some are going to be accomplished. Some will be forgotten here in a few weeks. It just depends on the resolution and the person. Today, I want to give you a good New Year's resolution. I want to share it with you from the Scriptures, and I hope and pray it'll encourage you as you go forward in 2018. It's a resolution that's good for all. If you're here this morning, I believe if you put your faith in Christ, it's a resolution you can make, and it's good for the entire year. It's something that we can and probably should keep. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16, and we're going to be looking at verse 8. The title of the message is A Good New Year's Resolution. Psalm chapter 16, and I'll begin reading in verse 7, but our text is in verse 8. He says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. And then in verse 8, he says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You've given to us. And I pray, Lord, over the next few minutes that we can focus on Your Word. And please, encourage us today from Your Word. Challenge us, if need be, convict us. And I pray that You'll provide the spiritual teaching You have for us today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The New Year's resolution I want to give to you this morning is, put the Lord before you. Put the Lord before you. We find here in Psalm 16:8 that David, who is the author of this, he resolved. Now, I don't know if he did it at the beginning of the year, if it was in the middle of the year, but he determined that he was going to put God before him. And he said, I have set the Lord always before me. I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning. First, there is no better person to go before you than the Lord. No better person. Think about the influence that someone has when they are placed in front of you. And when I mean placed in front of you, when you place them in front of you, when you put them as an example, or maybe as a role model, someone that you learn from and someone that you look to. Now, I'm not talking about idolizing anybody. We're talking about setting someone before you and learning from them. When you put someone before you, you're going to have the effects, so to speak, of their life or their conduct. For example, you put someone before you that is a poor example. Maybe a bad example. Maybe a bad influence. I got three boys, and you know they're young, they're growing up fast, and I'm teaching them, pay attention to who you put yourself around. Pay attention to your friends and those that you look towards. You put yourself in a position where you're looking to someone who is a poor example, you're going to find yourself perhaps struggling in life. You may be discouraged. You may even be defeated at times because you're following a bad example. But if you put someone in front of you that is a good example, or in this case with the Lord, someone who is better than you, someone who is above you, someone who is wonderful and great, then you'll be exalted as well. You'll be encouraged as you go forward, following the example of the one who is leading you. You know, what I believe here is we find David, he is holding God in high esteem, putting Him before him. He is adoring God. Someone that he is going to look to all the days of his life, and someone that he is going to follow, no matter if times are good or times are bad, he is going to look to the Lord. Now, who you put in front of you will probably shape your life. It'll probably shape your thoughts, maybe the things that you think about, maybe the things that you consider doing. It may shape your conduct even. There are people that have gotten into trouble based upon someone else's ideas. Someone had an idea and they said, hey, let's go do it. And someone else said, okay, I'll go with you. And next thing you know, they're all in trouble. Pay attention to who's in front of you. You put someone in front of you, they're probably going to shape your life. Now we put God in front of us. Think about that for a moment. He's going to shape our life, our thoughts. You know, Paul in Philippians says, let this mind be in you, when he's talking about Jesus Christ. You see, we should think like Christ. We should act like Christ. We should look to Christ in all areas of our life. You know, you can follow someone, and if they're going the wrong direction, you're going to end up going the wrong direction as well. And I tell you what, you can follow them, they can have the best intentions, but if they're going the wrong way, you're going to go the wrong way with them. So it's best to put someone in front of you that's going the right way. That's why I say there's no better person to follow this year than the Lord. Put the Lord before you. Follow Him as you go forward in 2018 because He is the best influence you can possibly have in your life. As far as putting the Lord before you, here's another thought. How about the importance of following the Lord? We're talking about no better person to follow than God. How about the importance of following God? I think as a believer, once you're saved, it's a privilege to follow after Christ. It's a privilege. We are blessed that we have a God who loves us, who has saved us, and now says, follow after me. And we are privileged to follow after the Lord. Now, to do this, if we're going to follow after God, it means we're going to have to submit our will to His. Romans chapter 12. If you have your Bibles or if you're taking notes, I'm going to read Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. And once I get over there, Romans chapter 12 verses 1 through 2. And this is Paul talking. He says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Basically, Paul here is challenging the church at Rome, and this challenge comes across to us today, to give their life to God, to yield themselves unto the Lord. You know, there are times in our life we need to re-examine our life as believers and make sure that we have submitted our will to the Lord. Because, you know, folks, we can pull things back sometimes. And I'm not talking about salvation. Once you're saved, you're saved. You're saved by grace and through faith in Jesus Christ. It's settled. But submitting your will to God, sometimes we can submit and then turn around a few days later or months later, become selfish or stubborn and want our will to be done. And it's good to make an examination. You know, at the beginning of the year, it's good to examine your heart and make sure that you're living with your will, God, not my will. Your will in my life, with my family. Your will for my children. Your will for my career. Your will for my everything in life. Your will, not mine. And then we follow after the Lord. You see, to put the Lord before you really requires complete submission to God and putting Him there and following after Him. You know, this passage here, verses 6 through 11, really a lot of people see the Messiah here. It's prophetic in this passage. They talk about Messiah, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Jews refer to this as being a psalm of prophecy concerning the Messiah. You know what I think as far as that is concerned? I believe Jesus Christ is our best example. And let me just give you a few thoughts on this. He fulfilled the will of God completely. In John 4:34, He said this, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Now let's consider that for a moment. From the day He was born until the day that He was crucified, the only thing that He considered was the will of God the Father. You know, the book of John, you read through it, you find it all the way through there. He's talking about doing the will of God the Father, complete submission to God. You see, Christ lived to carry out God's will to the point where He looked forward to death because that was God's will for His life. And He didn't cringe at it. He went to the cross and He died in our place so we could be saved. You see, Christ is the best example of complete submission to God. So this year, as you go forward, look to God. Put Him first. No better person to look to than our Lord. No better person to look to than God. You see, there is no better person to have in your life in front than the Lord. Number two, there's no better place to have God in your life than in front of you. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 16. It says here in verse 8, He says, I have set the Lord always before me. Now, He didn't put the Lord next to Him where He could, you know, consider Him His buddy. Now, I think the Lord is our Lord and Savior. But folks, I think if we're not careful, we can get irreligious or how do you say it? We can be blasphemous the way we talk about God if we're not careful. You know, some people talk about God as being their buddy and their best friend. Well, we got to be careful with that. Yes, He is there for us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But I tell you what, He's the King of Kings. He's God Almighty. He should go before us, not next to us where we can try to influence Him and try to direct, but before us. Also, He should never be behind us. He's the one that should lead our life. We shouldn't try to be leading our life. He's the great shepherd, and we should follow after the Lord. So there's no better place than to have the Lord in front of you. And I have two thoughts here. First, recognition of God. Recognition is good, but it's inadequate. Let me explain myself. I think we need more than just recognizing God as God. You see, there are many people in this world today that recognize God as being there, maybe existing, yet they have not put God in front of them. Some have not accepted God's Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. They haven't come to God in the way that God has provided. They don't look to God as their God. Oh, they may recognize God. They may talk about God. You know, when tragedy strikes, everyone talks about praying to God and they talk about going to God, yet they haven't put God in front. They're not following God. They're not looking to God with their life. You know, if you have your Bibles, let's look at two passages. I want to point this out to you. Notice Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to look at verses 21 through 23. What we find here is Christ points out that sinners can recognize God, and they can even attempt to work for God, yet not have God in front of them. Notice it says in verse 21 of Matthew 7, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We find that Christ tells us it's possible for people to be religious and without salvation or without Him. In other words, God's not in their life. They talk about God. They may even do some of the works of God. You know, when I think of this passage, I always think it's, to me, it's one of the greatest tragedies. Could you imagine someone leading people to God or pointing people to God, and yet they're going to spend an eternity in hell? That's what this tells us, that there are going to be people who are religious, and they might even have some of the right teachings. They might even say some right things. They might even point people in the right direction, but inside they haven't settled it themselves. They're just working and religious. And that's a tragedy, folks. That's sad. Make sure you're saved here this morning. Make sure you have repented of your sin. You believed on Jesus Christ for salvation, that you're saved here this morning. You see, we find that just recognizing God is not enough. It really is inadequate. Here, let me give you another example. Turn with me, if you would, over one chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. Matthew chapter 8. Well, verse 28 says, "And when he was come the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Notice the recognition of these evil spirits. They recognized Jesus. You know, they gave a better testimony than some Christians do sometimes. They boldly proclaimed him as the Son of God. They knew who he was. Yet, I can tell you this, they did not follow him. They were not, obviously not part of his kingdom. They were opposing him. You see, they recognized him, but it doesn't mean that they were right with him or that they had him in front. This morning, here's the thought I'll give to you before we move on. Redemption is needed to begin with. Salvation. We need to be saved. We need to know God as our Savior before we can put God in front of us. Three thoughts. First, you've got to understand you're a sinner. We've all sinned. The Bible teaches we have a sinful nature. Time doesn't permit me to really develop this. Just take a look at our nursery back there, or take a look at young kids anywhere, and you find that there's a sinful nature. You don't have to teach them how to steal. You got to teach them how to share. There's a sinful nature. We have all been born with it. We have this sinful nature. We can do nothing about it. We can try to be good. We can cover it with works. We can have education and reform. But when it comes down to it, we're still sinners. We need that to be addressed. And that's what God did when He sent His Son. Because sin separates. Separates us from God. And if you die in your sins, it's going to separate you forever from God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, He sent His Son so you can be saved. God's a personal God. He didn't send it for, you know, one group or one class of people or one nation. He sent it to the world so anyone who believes will be saved. This morning, I can tell you that. Believe on Jesus Christ and be saved, and you will be saved. You see, you need to understand that there's a Savior, your need for salvation, and then you get to God, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray you're saved this morning. If not, that's something that can be settled. After you're saved, guess what? Then you can put God in front of you, and you can follow after Him. like David did. You can begin to look to God. And that leads me to my thought here. There's no better place for God in front of you. We have recognition is inadequate. In other words, there's more to putting God in front of you than going to church, right? It's good to be in church, and I want you in church. I'm glad you're here. But there's more to looking to God than going to church. And there's more to looking to God than throwing on a shirt that says you're a Christian. Or wearing a hat that says you're a Christian. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things. But that's just recognition. Here's what it comes down to. Notice, let's go back to Psalm 16, verse 8. David said here, he said, I have set the Lord always before me. You have to resolve now. You know, once you're saved, you belong to the Lord, you have to determine that God is going to be first in your life. That you are going to put Him before you. This year, I hope and pray that's something you do. If it's something you've already done, you continue to do it. Put God before you. And you follow His lead in your life. And you resolve to have Him placed before you. Notice the purpose here. Notice what David said. David said, I have. That's a decision, folks. That's effort. I have. He says, I have done this. It didn't just happen one day. He didn't wake up and God was before him. He had to make a decision that he was going to put God first in his life. And that's what he did. I think of Daniel in Daniel chapter 1. Remember, he's taken into Babylon? They wanted him to eat the food that was offered to idols. And what did he do? The Bible says he purposed in his heart that he would not. You know what Daniel did? He made a decision. He resolved that he would not sin against God. And he put God first. This morning, I encourage you to do that. Put God first this year. Make a decision that God is going to go before you and that you're going to look to the Lord. Also, as far as practice, notice what he said here. The purpose is, he says, I have. The practice here in verse 8, he said, I have set the Lord, and he said, always before me. He didn't say, I've done it just once or twice. Now, putting God first is something you're going to have to, I think each of us is going to have to do all the time. It's not something you do one time. Now, salvation is once. I really believe once you're saved, the Bible teaches that you're forgiven, your sin is settled, and you're secure before the Lord. But putting God first in your life, you know, you can. I've had days where I had to do this a couple times because I started off fine, and the next thing you know, I became selfish or something came in, I got distracted. I had to go back and say, Lord, I need to look to you. You see, we have to do this over and over and over. Notice that always. We got to make this a practice in our life. I think it's best to begin your day with God if you can. No matter what your work shift is, maybe you work overnight. Whenever you start your day, whatever time it is, begin it with God when you get up. And then continue with the Lord and end with the Lord. You see, put God first. And that's what he did. That's the practice, always. And then another thought on this is persistence. You got to keep God there. Because there are many, I guess you say, many things in this world that can tempt us to remove God from before us. Some of the things aren't necessarily bad, folks. There's nothing wrong with careers. If you have a career, God's blessed you. But if you're not careful, you can put that first. That can become your priority. That can become your heart's desire and your love. And that's what you chase after. Now make sure that God is first. Always make sure that God is first. Be persistent in putting God first in your life. You know, this morning, there is no better place for God in your life than before you. Put Him right there and follow after Him. Number three, here's my third thought. My third and last one this morning. There is no better plan than this right here. No better plan for you in 2018 than this right here. Let me read it again. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So here's the plan. Do this every single day of your life. Starting tomorrow, Monday morning, January 1st. If you've already done it, keep doing it. Put God first in your life. Not just on Sundays. Not just when we come and gather as a church on Sunday mornings. You see, God is the God of Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday as well. He should be in front of you on those days as well. Walking before you and looking to Him in all that you do. So, how can we do this? You can do this by determining you're going to talk to God. Pray. Talk to the Lord. Like I said, I think it's good to start your day with God. Continue. Bible says pray without ceasing. So we should talk to the Lord constantly in prayer. Take your cares to Him. Take your concerns to Him. When you're blessed, praise Him. Thank Him. Give Him glory. Just talk to God. Secondly, read your Bible. Let God talk to you through His Word. Let Him continue to encourage you and challenge you as you study the Word of God and you read through His Word. You see, that's how we grow in the Lord, and that's how we put God first. We give Him, I guess you say, our heart, because we are praying to Him and we're seeking after Him in His Word. So do that every day of your life. And if for some reason you miss a day, folks, I know days can be busy. We can get busy on days. And you may have a long shift at work and you get off and you're tired. Well, you know what? If for some reason you miss it on a day, you know, the temptation will be just to quit or to get discouraged. Don't do that. Get back in there the next day. Pick yourself up and go. You see, God is a forgiving God. God is not a tyrant who's going to look over you and come down upon you because you were tired and you didn't, you know, I guess they get in the Word like you wanted to. Continue with the Lord. Get back in there. Read and read your Bible and pray. And don't quit. Also, how about this? There's no better plan to, as far as putting God first, not only every day of your life, but how about in every department of your life? Now, I'm not going to get into this too much because I'm not going to meddle this morning with your life. That's your life. But let me just give you a few thoughts. How about all the places you go? Let's begin at home. God should be first at home. How about where you go to work? God should be first at work. Or if you go to school, you're a student, God should be first there. Everywhere you go, God should be before you. Everywhere. You go shopping, before you. Even when you're in your car and people are cutting you off, God should be before you. So that way we are looking to God and we're acting the way we should. You see, God should be before us wherever we go. We should take God. I'm reminded of some of the Old Testament saints. You realize God was with Joseph when Joseph was with his family. And then when his brothers became ornery and they threw him in that pit and he ended up getting to Egypt, God was still with him. And Joseph kept his eyes on the Lord and God, and was blessed because of God. Daniel the same way. Daniel was taken from his home, put into Babylon. I tell you, that wasn't a choice he made. But God didn't forsake him. And he put God first and God blessed him. Whatever comes this year, 2018, I hope the Lord blesses each and every one of you. I hope the Lord gives you great blessings this year. But let's say if there's something that comes into your life that's unexpected, you could not prepare for, trust that God knew it was coming. Continue to put Him first, no matter what else happens. Wherever God takes you, put Him first. How about your positions in life? And let me explain this. We each have roles that we should play. If you're at home, maybe you're a husband, maybe you're a wife, maybe you're a child. God should be first in our life in all those areas. You know, I think men, we should be the best husband we could possibly be if you're married here this morning. The best. Same with women. If you're married, you should be the best wife you can possibly be. The children, you should be the best child you can possibly be. Best parent you can possibly be. You see, we've put God before us in all positions of our life. Now, let's go outside the home. How about we go to work? You know, we should have the same testimony at work we have at home. Trustworthy, honest, dedicated, faithful, wonderful employee or employer, because we're putting God first. And then, of course, in the church, serving the Lord. In other words, let's just put God in front in all areas of our life this year. And then here's my last thought on this. How about every decision you have to make this year? Put God first, right before you. Seek Him as you make your decisions. All of your desires or your intentions go to the Lord in prayer. Seek after His will and His way. Search His Word as you make decisions. And then trust that God will lead you correctly. You know, there's no better plan than to have God go before you this year. So I hope and pray that's what you do, that you put God first in your life, and that He goes before you in 2018. Here's the conclusion here this morning. Let's go back to Psalm 16, and notice it says in verse 8, He said, I have set the Lord always before me. And I'm going to give you, in conclusion, notice the last part. He said, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. If you want to have a joyful and prosperous year, I think this is a resolution that can give you that. Notice what David said. He said, because first off, He's at my right hand. You know what that implies? There's hope there. God is at His right hand. That's the position of authority and power and strength. I tell you what, this year, as I mentioned before, I don't know what's coming. This year, nobody does but God. But with God at your right hand, you can overcome anything. There's hope. There's always hope when it comes to God. And then secondly, notice He says here, not only is God at His right hand, He says, I shall not be moved. What we find here, David basically summed it up by saying that because of God, and because God was first in his life, David now had a firm foundation and he could stand strong in a shifting world. You know, David lived in a world there was a lot of changes. He had a lot of things he was dealing with at this time. 2018, we live in a world with a lot of changes. You may have a lot of personal changes in your life this year. You just look at the national level. There's a lot of changes. From year to year, a lot of things are taking place, a lot of changes. Well, I can tell you this, the world may change, but God will always be the same. You can stand firm on God. You can stand firm on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And no matter what comes your way, no matter if the Lord allows a storm in your life or if you have trials, God can get you through those and you can stand strong. And that's what we find here. David was going to put God first, and by putting God first, the result would be he would have God at his right hand and that he would not be moved. You know, this morning, I encourage you to put God first this year. No matter what comes your way, with God before you, you can have a joyful and prosperous new year.